From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, February 9th. I'm Abby Larico. People often associate frostbite with mountaineers or athletes exposed to the cold. It's also a risk that people experiencing homelessness face in the winter months.
My hands and feet was hurting so bad when I got in my cousin's truck. I knew it. I was just waiting on the dark, you know, skin to start dying.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports on how one freezing night can create lasting health problems for a community's most vulnerable. That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Charles officials will consider a permanent ban on large-scale data centers. This comes after months of public pushback over energy and environmental concerns. Members of the city's Planning and Zoning Commission will meet at City Hall at 6 o'clock tonight to hold a public hearing on the possible ban. A second hearing will be held at a city council meeting in March if the commission supports the measure. The hearing comes 6 months into a moratorium on new data center proposals after developer Clayco proposed a $1 billion project in the area that drew heavy pushback from residents. Officials put the one-year ban into place as a result of that outcry. The Army Corps of Engineers is beginning to demolish six homes in Florissant today. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports it's because of radioactive contamination from the Manhattan Project.
The six homes are next to Coldwater Creek in Florissant, which is contaminated from World War II-era radioactive waste. The Army Corps says it needs to remove contaminated soil underneath the foundations. The demolitions show the seriousness of the problem, says Chantel Jones, the chair of the North County Community Advisory Group.
It's a significant moment for this community, one that carries both progress and pain.
The Army Corps says the demolition will take a month, and it will monitor air during the process to prevent further contamination. Florissant's mayor also said the city would oversee the demolition. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of Wellston and St. Louis County say McBride Homes will construct 178 homes in the Lulu Heights neighborhood. The estimated $52 million development is planned at a former dumping ground after a cleanup effort. The project comes after the city of Wellston, the county land bank, and Port Authority issued a request for proposals for the land. Beyond Housing and the Community Impact Network will assist McBride Homes in the development process. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen passed a bill Friday to boost a city program aimed at stabilizing vacant buildings with taxpayer funds. As St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the program has struggled for much of the last 5 years.
Prop NS seeks to make homes in the city's land bank structurally sound. The buildings are chosen through a nomination process and repairs are funded through a $6 million stipend. The bill raises the cap on repair spending set by voters in 2017 from $30,000 for a single-family home to $50,000 for any building up to 1,500 square feet. In the last 5 years, the program has repaired roughly 190 homes and sold 113 to private owners. Bill sponsor Rasheen Aldridge says the expanded funding rules will help the program repair more buildings, which then would be sold to private owners for rehab projects. Board members Pam Boyd and Sharon Tyus voted no and present, respectively, citing concerns with the program and the city's land bank. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Family and friends of a woman who died after suffering a medical emergency at the St. Louis jail in late January say they do not want her death to be in vain. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more from Friday's vigil honoring Demetria McDial.
Ellie Goulding's lights played as those gathered released balloons in shades of pink and purple, McDial's favorite colors. The 32-year-old was in the city justice center for allegedly stalking and stabbing the father of some of her children. She had been awaiting a mental health evaluation when she died. Herdosia Bentham is the director of movement at Freedom Community Center, which leads the No More Jail Deaths campaign. She says jail is the worst place for people with mental health issues.
They keep offering our community that have been traumatized for 600 years cages.
McDial is at least the 22nd person to die while in custody at the jail since 2020. Her death remains under investigation. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Comptroller Donna Behringer says a deadly 2025 tornado should prompt more discussions about the city and county working more cohesively together. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more.
Because St. Louis and St. Louis County are separate governmental entities, they have different emergency management systems. And that meant the city's siren system wasn't as well funded or maintained as St. Louis County's. Barringer says the tornado should prompt deeper discussions about whether the city-county separation makes much sense.
Anyone under 40 right now that comes into St. Louis says, "What is wrong with you people? Why are you so separated?" And I tell everyone that is why we're having an issue, a perception of us.
Prior efforts to combine St. Louis and St. Louis County have faltered, most recently with the Better Together initiative in 2019. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Barringer was a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. You can listen to her interview as well as our first episode of the Meet Me Project, which focuses on the St. Louis City-County divide, at stlpr.org. A St. Louis nonprofit is expanding its effort to improve so-called forgotten bus stops across the bi-state region. Citizens for Modern Transit and AARP in St. Louis launched the Story of a Bench project back in April. It aims to improve the rider experience at bus stops without seating and streetlights. The nonprofit has since installed 7 red benches at Metro bus stops, including in Swansea, Cahokia Heights, East St. Louis, St. Louis City, and St. Louis County. Kim Sella is the CEO of Citizens for Modern Transit. She says this is a simple way to invest in the transportation system.
A small-scale bench is making a huge difference for public transit riders in the communities where these bus stops are located. And so we're hoping that through this program, people realize that transit is a critical component of the transportation system in St. Louis, whether they ride it or not.
Sella says at least 7 more benches will be installed throughout the region this year, including in Maplewood and Fairview Heights. The snow is beginning to melt in St. Louis. That's after temperatures have plunged into the single digits in recent weeks, creating a dangerous situation for people experiencing homelessness. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton takes a closer look at the issue of frostbite and how one cold night can create health effects that last a lifetime.
It's been months since Tanya Henderson has felt her hands. She's from California, but has been in St. Louis about a year, sometimes sleeping on church porches or in a tent. She was outside this winter when overnight temperatures hit single digits. A doctor told her her hands have frostbite.
Man, I'm telling you, it really hurts. These freeze bites, it ain't no joke, and it's ice.
Her hands look as if they've been dipped in white wax.
I'm wearing 2 packs of warmers, 3 pairs of gloves, you know, just trying to save my fingers, which they're unsavable now because I think I lost the feeling.
People often associate frostbite with athletes exposed to cold or children who don't bundle up. But those experiencing homelessness face a significantly higher risk of frostbite in the winter months. Dr. Nathaniel Nolan is the founder of StreetMed STL, a group that provides medical care and outreach services for people living on the street. He says he regularly sees frostbite in the people he helps. He explains as the body conserves warmth in the torso, blood vessels in fingers, toes, and other extremities constrict. Ice literally forms inside the tissue.
And that kind of just causes this cascade of tissue damage that's ongoing and doesn't have enough blood flow to recover.
Nolan explains the most serious cases can lead to amputation.
It's almost like it's a grape dying on the vine.
St. Louis leaders say they understand the danger and have put new protocols in place called Code Blue. When it's colder than 25 degrees, the city operates warming buses, opens emergency beds at shelters, and activates rally points where residents can receive help and get warm. Earlier this year, Toriano Rice used the bus to get to one of the city's emergency shelters.
I'm a 53-year-old homeless man from St. Louis, Missouri, born and raised St. Louis, Missouri.
Rice says once he was there, he got into an argument with shelter workers after he kept getting up to use the restroom. He says a side effect of undertreated diabetes. Rice says workers at the shelter told him to leave. He thought he could get on a bus or find another shelter, but he struck out with both plans.
And I felt like I was being put out for nothing, you know. And so I was angry about that. I just wanted to get the hell away from these people.
He began walking through the cold toward a relative's house on the north side, about 6 miles away, with no gloves and wearing mesh Reebok shoes. After walking for hours, his cousin put him in a pickup truck to get warm, and he knew something was wrong.
My hands and feet was hurting so bad when I got in my cousin's truck. I knew it. I was just waiting on the dark, you know, the skin to start dying.
Advocates, researchers, and health providers all say the best way to prevent frostbite is to find reliable, warm shelter. But shelters are not always open, available, or welcoming. Rasmus Jorgensen, a spokesman for Mayor Kara Spencer, says the city's activated hundreds of shelter beds this winter, and shelters haven't had to turn anyone away. However, he acknowledges the need for better shelter access and says leaders are in conversations to open a new shelter in the western part of St. Louis. StreetMed's Dr. Nolan says the real question is why one of the wealthiest countries in the world still allows people to freeze so much their limbs are permanently damaged.
People want to erase the problem on the back end, right? Like, we have this problem. How do we, like, wipe it away so that I don't have to see it on my drive to work? But no one's saying, like, how do we move upstream so that people never are in such dire circumstances to begin with?
I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.